Voices of VR podcast.
Hello, my name is Ken Bai, and welcome to the Voices of VR podcast. It's a podcast that looks at the structures and forms of immersive storytelling and the future of spatial computing. You can support the podcast at patreon.com/voicesofvr. So, continuing my series of looking at AWE past and present, today's episode is with David Whelan of Engage XR. So David is the CEO of Engage PLC, and I had a chance to talk to him on Thursday, June 1st, 2023, which was after I had published my interview with Fatboy Slim's concert that they had done within the context of Engage. And then after I got back from AWE, then there was the announcement for Apple that come out. And so, you know, whenever I go to these different events, there's always the zeitgeist of whatever the hottest topic is at the moment. And I'm always recording way more podcasts that I can release like in real time. And so this is an opportunity in this series for me to go back and dig into these unpublished interviews that were also still relevant to marking the history of the evolution of the medium, but also to look at these very interesting moments. And so like, how did this whole Fatboy Slim concert within the context of Engage XR even come about? So I wanted to chat with David just to get a bit more of that backstory. And it turns out that is very much a marketing move in the sense that they wanted to promote the capabilities of their platform to like this target demographic of people who like grew up listening to Fatboy Slim. And so it just happened to be this very interesting intersection and led to them getting a lot more traction than other efforts that they were doing to try to like promote what they were doing within the context of their platform. So it's a real example of experiential marketing for them to create cultural events that are showing the use of their technology and the power of immersion, but also in a way that allows them to show their capabilities of what they're able to do on these platforms. They've obviously continued to go on and improve the platform and facilitate lots of different gatherings, and Engage PLC is also like a publicly traded company. So there's a certain level of transparency that's happening with Engage XR that you don't usually see within the context of the larger industry. So you get some real hard numbers in terms of seeing how they're growing with this use case of enterprise communications and training. So we're covering all that and more on today's episode of the Voices of VR podcast. So this interview with David happened on Thursday, June 1st, 2023 at Augmented World Expo in Santa Clara, California. So with that, let's go ahead and dive right in.
Yeah, so I'm David Whelan. I'm the CEO of Engage PLC. We're a metaverse platform, but I don't think that really explains the breadth of the stuff that we do. We do virtual events, and we do a lot of education, training, and development. Pretty much anything that requires multiple users in a virtual space, we do that on our platform, and we enable our clients to build whatever they like on the platform.
Great. Maybe you could give a bit more context as to your background and your journey into VR.
Yeah, so I've been here quite a while. I was a DK1 owner back in the day. I was the producer and director on Apollo 11 VR, which was a quite popular experience. I built that with Drash, who was another very popular VR developer back in the day. We had other education experiences like Titanic VR, worked with the BBC on a Berlin Blitz experience. But all the time in the background, we were building the Engage platform, which initially was designed as a virtual reality classroom, you know, where you could get taught remotely from any educator in the world. And not only that, you could build your own content using spatial recordings. So if you missed a class from Stanford University, as an example, you could replay it over as if it's happening live. When COVID hit, we had HTC come and hold an event on the platform, right just when China closed down, actually, because it was supposed to be physically in China. And from that event, then we had a lot of corporations coming to us looking to host their own virtual events. And because in the events themselves, we had access to C-level executives like CTOs and CEOs, we were then upselling them on, okay, what are your training development requirements? What are your onboarding requirements? Is there anything else where you think immersive technologies can be useful in your company? And that enabled us then to onboard over, I think, close to 30 Fortune 500 companies, and we have over 200 enterprise clients today as I stand here.
Okay, yeah, the last time we had a chance to talk was back in May of 2021, and at that point you had just crossed over your 100 customer mark, so now you've doubled that in the last 2 years, and you also have had a big concert experience with Fatboy Slim that I had a chance to see, and at the time I didn't realize it was built upon this Engage Link platform, which launched back on like November 7th of 2022, so the last time we spoke, you were talking about this idea of like this corporate metaverse where you have these persistent open spaces that is kind of like an open world exploration, but more geared towards companies and kind of like a LinkedIn of the metaverse. And so maybe you could expand on this Engage Link platform and what you're able to do with that.
Yeah, so we are very much kind of like an early LinkedIn. So we have over 200,000 registered users on the platform. Average age is 40 years old, even split of men and women. So we're very unlike any other platform in this space, where most of them have a lot of kids on the platform and probably a lot more users as well. What works quite often is that these companies, they build their own virtual spaces, you know, but they are at the moment treating it like the homepage of a website. Oh, we build this lovely branded location. If they don't hold any events in there, they're going to be dead, you know. So they need to hold immersive events in there, networking events, you know, training days and the likes. And when those events happen, the platform gets very busy for those couple of hours. And when the event is not there, then you might get maybe 300-400 people, you know, looking at your location if it's an interesting location. But it's only a starting point. Like, we're not a company that sells virtual land. I don't see a point in selling virtual land. You can always build more virtual land. There's no inherent value to having virtual land. What we're doing is we're selling hosting space for these people to build out their worlds and make them as big and as broad as they want, or make them as small as they want, you know, with immersive content inside it. I think, like, the future for us, there's going to be metaverses for dating, metaverses for sports. I think we kind of see ourselves more like a platform for people to build on, like a WordPress for all the world, where people can build whatever they like, you know. But if it's enterprise and education focused, I hope that they come to our platform first and try it out. We've been around a while. We've been around 8 years. We're ISO certified. We're on GovCloud. We're also a public limited company as well. So that actually gives a lot of our clients comfort that, yes, we're not just a startup that's going to disappear, you know, in 2 years when, you know, if you run out of funding. You know, we're here for the long haul.
So being a public company in that way, you have different obligations of reporting different revenue and other statistics. And so I know that there was just a press release that was put out over the last couple of weeks announcing some of the latest results. Maybe you can give a brief rundown of how things are going there at Engage.
Yeah, so being a public company, you have to announce all your numbers. So we're probably one of the few VR companies where you know exactly how much they're making. So 2 years ago, we made $2 million in revenue. Last year, it was $4 million in revenue, so doubled. This year, we think we're going to do about $6 million in revenue, possibly $7 million. I know there's been a bit of a slowdown. Our first quarter was pretty strong. We made 40% more revenue in our first quarter this year as opposed to last year. So we're on track, you know, to do that $6 million in revenue. We just announced a partnership with Lenovo, and we're actually the first multiplayer platform on the Spaces SDK, which is built by Qualcomm. They're actually demoing their headset for the first time at this event. So we're going to be working hand in hand with Lenovo, going out joint pitching to companies, their top, you know, 100 companies. It only takes a couple of those really to sign on in a big way, you know, and you see a big explosion, you know, of engaged users.
What are some of the most active users of your corporate clients? What type of things are they doing on your platform?
So we have a few motor companies. One of the public ones we can announce is Kia. They have a digital twin on the platform, which they use for training and development remotely. They're salespeople, but they also place the digital twin on Engage Link. So people, the public can walk around, look at the cars, ask information about the cars. We have a lot of the big consultancy companies like KPMG we work with, PwC, you know, those main consultancy companies. What they're doing is they're being asked about metaverse, you know, and they don't build it themselves. They actually come to our platform then and we provide advice. And now hopefully we get those clients on board. They're really active. We actually have, it's a strange user base because we were focused on education for so long and we still are. 60% of our clients are educationally based, but they only make up 30% of the revenue. The rest then are enterprise, but they make up the large majority of revenue. So it's all about chasing the money at the moment to make sure you have a sustainable business. I think the days of raising huge amounts of cash and burning through it in 2 years and, you know, hey, we have progress, those days are gone at the moment. But, you know, everybody's waiting for Wednesday to see what Apple announced. They'll make this whole industry, I think, trendy again in a lot of people's eyes. So I do expect that we'll have a strong second half of the year.
I don't know if you can say or not, but have you been in contact with Apple with doing things with Engage on the Apple platform?
I could tell you, but I'd have to shoot you. No, we haven't so far. So we work on iOS devices already, mobile phones, like iPads, iPhones as well. So it would be a pretty easy porting process for us, but they're very secretive. They've only worked with a handful of developers and they'll do all the demos themselves internally. But from Wednesday, you're going to see that they'll be reaching out to developers like ourselves and making sure we have headsets to port on because they want to see as many use cases as possible. So hopefully they see the Fatboy Slim thing, because I'd love to work with Apple iTunes and do some stuff with some of their artists.
Yeah, maybe you could give a bit more context for how the Fatboy Slim project had first come about, because I know that when we did a interview a couple of years ago, back in May of 2021, you had said that you had a Chemical Brothers video with someone who created a whole lights show. And so I don't know if that had led to a certain sense of dogfooding your own platform to push technologically, but also to do a bit of a pivot of doing more entertainment or more broadly interesting experiential aspects, because there's educational component and more of the serious games in some sense. But this was more of an experience that had a psychedelic and fun and, you know, as Norman Cook self-describes it, you know, trying to be as stupid and irreverent and psychedelic as he could. And so you have this whole amazing immersive experience, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about that backstory for how that came about and how you were able to use that to push your platform technologically.
Yeah, so we've been in space a while and we've been spending money on marketing, but like we haven't been getting anything in return. You can do everything that you can do with all these corporations, but like press don't really take it up. And then, you know, you work with a celebrity like Norm, and then all the press are very interested in it. It's something very different. And he really hits our demographic, where a lot of the people who are decision makers in these corporations are in their 40s now. They would have listened to Norm growing up, and they all came along to the platform and they're all going, oh, holy crap, I didn't realize this platform could do events in such a manner at such a scale. So it was a way to really show off the platform as, you know, the best events platform available today. How it came about actually is, being a listed company, we have a PR company in London that look after investment communication. And the girl there, she's the niece of Simon Cowell, you know, so I was like, I'd like to do a music event, you know, do you think you can get us a contact, you know, with, and I gave her a list of artists, but Norman was like top of the list. I said, yeah, leave it with me and I'll get back to you. And she actually got me the contact for the manager, had a conversation with him. We brought him in, I sent him a headset and I said, look, I can talk all you like, but I'm going to send you a headset because you're not going to understand until you place the headset on your face. So he was inside the Engage, and we had like a small little demo that we showed him, the Chemical Brothers one, and we actually made a short Fatboy Slim demo as well, just off our own backs. And then he said, hang on there a moment, and he took off the headset and he put it on Norm. Norm was standing next to him. So we started talking to Norm for about 40 minutes, and I had Chris Madsen with me. He blew Norm's mind. You know, we had him flying, we showed him other music experiences, and I said, look, Norm, it's like this. Dark Side of the Moon, when it came out for Pink Floyd, changed the music industry. It was a concept album that no one thought, you know, that anyone would buy, or completely blew people's minds. We'll do the same for you if you allow us to run Riot, you know, with your back catalogue. And he said, look, I'll do one better. I'll make a brand new mix for you guys. Come over to Brighton. And I stayed in his house with Dave McDermott. He actually performed for us in his kitchen behind a green screen. It was literally just the four of us in the kitchen dancing around crazy. It was a great time, you know, and David James actually pitched a storyboard to him, and Norm was like, love it. He said, just go as crazy as you like. I like the direction that you're going. He had input, you know, there's a couple of things he wanted changed here and there, but overall, the overarching thing he loves. The first thing we pitched to him, actually, which he didn't like at all, was kind of a Alice in Wonderland kind of team, where, you know, it's, he wanted to give people a psychedelic experience, and he hated that, and that was a really bad meeting, you know. And I was like, geez, how are we going to recover this? So then David James then just went crazy. I said, David, just go off and have a, you know, few beers, whatever gets you loose or whatever, come back in a couple of weeks, we only have one more time to pitch this. And he pitched the idea then, and it hit home. So, and that's pretty much what you see on the storyboard, is pretty much what you got in the experience at the end.
Yeah, and David James McDermott had said that they're also working with Tim Fleming, who is also kind of a liaison or in the VR space, but also helping to interpret some of these different concepts or ideas, having worked with Norm before to be able to help facilitate some of that as well.
Yeah, so Tim is the guy that does all the visuals at the actual concerts as well. So we wanted to make sure, we didn't want to replicate a real concert, because if you try to replicate the real world, people will go, I'd rather just go to the concert. We wanted to give them something different, a different experience, but definitely a tie-in. So that's why you see the characters from Norm's back catalogue throughout the experience. You see like Fatboy, or you see, what's the guy from Weapon of Choice?
Christopher Walken,
yeah, you see him following you around in different locations. And then you see inspirations of Norm as well. So you see Jim Morrison, you know, you see other artists in there as well. So we wanted to tie it all up neat and tidy. Now, it's not the best visual experience that you'll see in VR, but it's such a weird, crazy experience where your attention is drawn every 20 seconds to something different. You know, you're not giving the mind any time to rest. And that's, I think, what people really responded to really well. And then obviously the reviews came in, which were fantastic and glowing, you know. So I'm delighted for all the work that, you know, Norm and David put in on the project. The reason why we call him David James, actually, is I've hired six people called David. So we need a way to recognize. So we're actually calling people by their middle name as well. So it's just, I don't know, a lot of people called David with really good skills, I think.
Yeah, well, what were some of the other things that you were using this concert experience to be able to push your platform technologically? What kind of innovations did you have to do to be able to pull off this 45-minute experience with all the loading and cross-platform? You know, you say the visuals were not that impressive, and I saw it in the PC VR and was also just really shocked and surprised to know that the Quest users were seeing the exact same visuals, which is usually not the case. And so love to hear some of the other innovations that you had to do in order to pull this off.
Yeah, so the Quest actually was our lowest common denominator. So we wanted to make sure that if you're on a Quest, you're on a PC, you're going to see the same experience. And with 50 people with you networked at the same time, which is, you know, it's a pretty heavy task for a Quest 2, which is 4 or 5 years old at this stage. We were loading in environments as well seamlessly without actually breaking the audio. So normally when you load from one environment to another, you know, say in VR chat, if you go to some place, you see a loading screen. We couldn't have that because you needed the music to flow all the way through and everything had to be completely synced. So there was a lot of technical challenges to get that right. And then the scaling opportunity. So as a room of 50 people filled up, you had to open up another room. And then even if that room opened up, it couldn't start from the beginning. It had to sync with the other room if people came in late. And then there was a load of, I think it was a gig and a half of everybody. So one of the things that we did to hide the load was when you get into the experience first, you're in a holding area with two bouncers standing in front of you, which were like two big massive eyeballs, and you hear music in the background. So you're kind of waiting in a queue like you would in, say, going to a normal gig. And then when it loaded, then everything would just explode around you and you're in the concert and you're going crazy. So there was lots of things to think about. It. How is the end user experience? We didn't want it to be, oh, you're on the stage with the person or you're in the audience with people. That's kind of boring. You need to give people completely different experiences that they will put on the headset for. I think it's similar in Engage in our enterprise clients where people aren't using our platform for meetings where, oh, we're sitting in a boardroom, we're doing a PowerPoint presentation. You're completely missing the point. They are using it for more immersive daily stand-ups where they have like a big, you know, whiteboard or Kanban board every day and they're going in and they're getting their stand-ups done a lot quicker instead of being on Zoom or Skype where if you're on 10, 15 Zoom calls a day, you get very jaded very quickly because you're focused on a camera. How do I look? I don't want to look like I'm bored. That actually takes concentration where you're in an immersive environment. You know, your avatar always looks professional. So you can be sitting in your underpants but still attending like a corporate meeting with your CEO. So it does make a difference and makes people more relaxed. And I think it does make them more creative as well.
Well, you have a dynamic where you have all these clients that you have, I'm sure, some metrics and things that you're able to sell these companies on, but you have this other component, which is the experiential component of people actually having a direct embodied experience that they have to have this more qualitative experience of what the platform is about. And so what is your method of communicating both ends of the spectrum of both the experiential component, but also like what is the return of investment? What are the other quantified metrics? And maybe you could sort of share the ways that you make sense of your platform in those two ways.
Yeah. So one way, client of ours, 3M as an example, during COVID, they were hiring a lot of people remotely and, you know, there was a lot of churn with, you know, people joining a company after 6 months, they get a bigger check somewhere, they go away. Whereas normally in a normal environment, when you hire someone, they will come to an office, they make friends with people, they feel part of a family, and they'll be more sticky to stay with the company. They started doing onboarding using a virtual experience built, you know, by themselves within the platform, you know, and it made people feel more involved in the business, you know, made people feel more involved. And then it turns down, it reduces that churn a bit. So that's one way that immersive technologies can really help. But all the tools that we build for education, like we're just placing those in other businesses' hands. So Victory XR, I think you might know Steve, he built a business on the platform where he's doing metaversities funded by Meta, actually. So we've thousands of kids on the platform every day learning. You know, some of these schools don't even have physical buildings and just use the virtual environment. Not all in VR, it can be on phones and tablets if they want, but they'll go in, they'll create content. And when they want to go on like tours or they want to interact with something, they'll use the immersive VR experience as well. So there's lots of elements to Engage. I think we are very much like a Swiss Army knife. Like if there's a use case out there, we've probably done it with a client in some way. And that's just the power of the platform. And again, I go back to the WordPress analogy. You know, WordPress is used for loads of different things, for, you know, dating websites, for business websites, for advertising websites, you know, just for corporate communication. We kind of sit in that bracket as well, where we kind of, you know, we do everything. There's some platforms out there that do things better than us in a very bespoke way for meetings, as an example. But I don't think there's anything out there that does as much as we do, as wide as we do, for as many companies as we do.
Well, I know that certainly you've had different examples of folks using your platform for spatial visualization, but I'm wondering if you've started to get into folks who want to do more data visualization or exploring different relational dynamics of different points? Or, you know, are there other types of sense-making capabilities to be able to upload node graphs or making sense of, you know, relational dynamics and information visualization?
Yeah, we haven't done that much. The way that we focused our business is if someone wants that kind of implementation, they're going to have to pony up for it, you know, because it's very bespoke to that organization. So like, say, a medical institution, as an example, they might want to bring in medical records or data scans, but just for their institution. If they're going to pay us to make that module, absolutely, we'll do it. If it's not going to be useful for other clients, you know, we're probably not going to do it because we're so busy with doing the, you know, corporate events and onboarding and those kind of elements. We are upgrading our SDK. You can import client models directly in from Unity just by a click of a button now. That's something new that's come out. I know VR Chat have actually led the way in many regards for implementations. Neos is actually a fantastic platform for that data visualization. But it's not something that clients were willing to pay for up to this point. That might change in the coming months. We just focus on things that clients are going to pay for.
Okay. And yeah, what are some of the things that you're working on that's coming up next year?
So you're probably sick of hearing AI. So we're going to have AI characters inside Engage's front of office. So you'll be able to go in. We call it Athena. So you go in, you say, Athena, how do I use Engage? How do I bring in, you know, a model? You know, how do I create X, Y, and Z? That's what we're doing. Where we are bringing Athena is that you can build custom data sets. So Kia is an example. They would like, you know, AI employees in the platform that can actually answer questions about the cars and where's the nearest dealer and can you change the car to red, and Athena will do that automatically. And in an education setting, we'll have demos in the next couple of weeks where you can go in and say, hey Athena, change to Benjamin Franklin, and her whole avatar will change and her voice will change, and you can ask Benjamin Franklin questions, or you'll have AI educators. And I think that's where we're going, really. I think physical buildings for education in the United States especially, I think a lot of people are going to be homeschooled in immersive environments, and I think going to physical locations is really going to be for more wealthy people, where they're going to get, you know, really good, like Stanford University and MIT in places, they're going to pay up for that. But I think people who have access not to great education, I think they're going to be more and more homeschooled. I think that's going to be a massive growth market for us in the future.
Well, part of that vision of having more accessibility is making sure that it's available on multiple platforms beyond just VR headsets, because not everybody has VR headsets. And so you have both an application for Android and iPhone. And so the last time we talked, you said you had perhaps some aspirations for having more of web clients or web XR explicitly. So I'd love to hear any updates for what's happening on the website of the platform.
Yeah, we'll have WebXR application, I think, available in the next few weeks. It won't be connected directly to the Engage as standalone. For the moment, I see it as a half step into corporations looking to experiment with spatial computing. So you'd be on your desktop, you'd be walking around these environments, you can hold meetings in there if you want. So it only gets them thinking about how do we use like spatial locations, you know, in our corporation. But it is a way for us to grow much, much quicker as well, where a corporation might only have 2,000 headsets, but they have 20,000 employees. And we're just going, okay, well, you can buy 20,000 WebXR licenses. And then for the people who really need the immersive stuff, we have all the training development modules here available for you if you want to do that. So it is about broadening our services that we can sell, you know, and just make sure that revenue line keeps growing, because that's what investors are looking for at the moment. You know, they're not looking for companies to spend all their investment cash and only get one or two clients. What they're looking for is who's actually paying for this. Is it repeatable? Is it scalable? And I think people are looking at us now are seeing the growth over the last 2 years and going, you know what, there's a business that is actually scaling and delivering, you know, on pretty much like minimal funding that we've had to date.
Right. And finally, what do you think the ultimate potential of these immersive technologies and the future of education and communication might be, and what it might be able to enable?
So remote hybrid working, there's lots of issues with video communication. I think, like people today, you know, say I'll Zoom you later or Skype you later. I think 3 years from now, a lot more people will say I'll engage with you later, or I'll physically go in and meet you. So that's one area that we kind of want to dominate. In the education space, as I said, we're getting a lot of universities and schools, private schools, coming onto our platform and not actually having physical buildings anymore. We've thousands of kids every day actually in the platform who do their lessons within Engage, and you know, that's how they prefer it. They don't like being on Zoom. Possibilities are endless. Like I was standing with you 8 years ago, you know, and people are asking like, where is this technology going to go? I don't think people would have thought it would have been as slow to adopt, but with Apple coming into the space, making things trendy, I think you're going to see a whole other renaissance now in the next, you know, 5 or 6 years. That's going to be good for the industry as a whole. And we're going to get lots of people coming to us with really interesting and wacky ideas. Not everything is going to work, and we've done a lot of stuff that hasn't worked out. You know, we got paid for it, but it hasn't worked out. But we've learned along the way. We're very much here right now at 1997 in the adoption of the internet. We have a lot of corporations now going, my metaverse strategy is I'm buying this location, I'm putting my logo up, and that's all I need to do. That's the same as businesses 25 years ago going, I bought a domain name for 50 grand, I put my logo on top, and I put my phone number underneath. Those businesses are gone. The businesses that really use the technology to its advantage are like eBay, Amazon. Those companies are dominating, you know, Facebook as well, you know. So you're going to see the next Facebook, Amazon, YouTube, those kind of companies coming. I think the birth of those companies is going to happen in the next 3 years, where I think the last 5-6 years has all been proof of concept, you know, making connections, you know, who's surviving, you know, what technologies are interesting. But I think the next 3 to 5 years, you're actually going to see the next dominant players in the spatial computing space.
Awesome. Is there anything else that's left unsaid that you'd like to say to the broader immersive community?
No, I've missed you all, I suppose. Like, I've been stuck in Ireland for the last 3.5 years. It's my second trip to the US this year. I'm going to be over here a lot more as well, but it's great to reconnect with everybody and see the faces and seeing businesses, you know, join together and see like really good tech people, you know, still in demand. So it's an exciting growth area, and I think just what we're seeing the last 3 or 4 months is a bit of a blip. I think it's going to be, as I said, an explosion second half of this year, especially in the last quarter.
Are you hanging around for the Apple event to attend in person next week?
No, I'd love that. I didn't get an invite anyway. Chris Madsen has a better ties in Apple, but as soon as it's out anyway, I'll have the credit card in my hand, buy a few headsets, we'll get Fat by Slim running on it and see can I get some Apple people in.
Awesome. Well, David, thanks so much for joining me today to help break down all the latest updates of what's happening with Engage. And yeah, congratulations on the Fatboy Slim experience. You know, it's one of my peak experiences in VR that I've had so far, and it was a real joy and pleasure to go through it and help break it down with both Dave James and Norm. And yeah, thanks for helping provide a lot more details and updates for what's happening with Engage. So thank you.
No worries. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to this episode of the Voices of VR podcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, then please do spread the word, tell your friends, and consider becoming a member of the Patreon. This is a supportive podcast, and so I do rely upon donations from people like yourself in order to continue to bring this coverage. So you can become a member and donate today at patreon.com/voicesofvr. Thanks for listening.